Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. I found this topic pretty interesting in looking at it a little bit more in depth. When Marcus asked me to talk about adoption, he gave me a list of questions, and we sort of use that as an outline. Both Lynn and I will be answering some of those questions. But looking at Scripture on how God looks at adoption, it's just amazing how adoption is talked about from the beginning of the Bible to the end, all the way through. The first question that he had was, why adopt? So for this one, I want us to take a look at Scripture and answer it a little bit more with Scripture. And I want to look at what is God's heart for the orphan. Psalm 68:5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Orphans and widows are often sort of together when God talks about this in Scripture. It's usually the fatherless and the orphans. The fatherless and the widows, and it sort of gives you tells you how to treat them, how to take care of them. Adoption, it's one of the core things that comes with redemption. If you think about before you were a child of God, you weren't born a child of God. So once you become a child of God, you were adopted. So adoption is actually part of the redemption story. I want to take a look at some verses in Romans 8, verses 14 through 17. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So obviously, before you were the sons of God, led by the Spirit of God, you weren't the sons of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I find that interesting that the bondage of fear is given that the opposite of adoption. I'm going to thread in some of our story throughout the evening. And this one, it gives me the picture of a younger child that you go to visit maybe and you're thinking about adoption that doesn't trust you, doesn't know you that well. And we're working with that with Isabella right now. Where we are right now with Isabella is we're making contact. We're supposed to be making contact with her. We usually do that through video calls. When we first started doing that, she hardly said anything. And now it's not unusual to be talking for her. Well, there's times that she's preoccupied with something else, but it's also not unusual for her to talk for an hour. It's a connection that we're creating with her that is actually being required by the Mexico side before they pass the paperwork from Mexico to the U.S. side. But this is the picture that I see. I mean, she got to the orphanage there when she was only a few months old or a few weeks old. That's all she ever knew. She's 8 years old. The caretaker there, the one in charge, is actually we respect her quite well. She has a good connection with the children. Isabella had really no desire to leave as such because she didn't know us. And if you look at, so there's a fear there that she had going from something that she knew very deeply. She had a strong connection. Going from there to who is this family? I don't even know her. I mean, yeah, she's met us a few times over the years, quite a few years ago, but she really didn't know us. And then the Abba Father, that word Abba, is only used three times in Scripture. And the first time, it's when Jesus was asking God to take the cup away from him. And it has the meaning of a close relationship, a close tie to the Father. This is the second one, and the third one is in Galatians 4:6, and it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Again, it has adoption woven into this one, and a connection. It expresses the love, confidence, the connection that a child has intimately with his father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Again, a connection that I, as a child of God, I have that connection with my father once I become a child of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We have it's a beautiful picture of becoming, going from not being a son of God to being a son of God through adoption. And there's a spiritual inheritance that goes with it. When we adopt a child, that child has the same rights as any of the rest of the children that are a part of that family. And it's a beautiful picture here that we have of being heirs with Christ through adoption, that we are in God, with God. We receive a new identity, and this is also something that was made very clear to us when the adoption is complete. If you go look up the birth certificate of that child that you adopted, the names change. You won't find the old name there. The name is changed, and whoever the parents are, those names are going to be on the birth certificate as their parents. It's a complete change in identity for that child. And here again, looking at how God treats us, we have a brand new identity in God, with God. So, why adopt? Well, there's a lot of different stories and a lot of different ways that God leads people to adopt. When we moved to Mexico to be house parents at the orphanage, we had really no, that wasn't in our plans at all to adopt. Looking back now and looking at the way God led us through, how doors opened, we were going through a time, we had a few workers off on furlough, so we were short-staffed at the time, and DEEF, which is Social Services, called and said, hey, they have four babies that need a home. And if you know anything about orphanages, babies are the easiest to take care of and the most fun, so there was really no way of saying no when they asked to bring four babies to the home. Well, we were short-staffed enough that we decided we would take one into our apartment and take care of her, and that was Tanya. And it was weeks, months after that, and well, the workers came back, and it never happened that we moved her on to any of the other workers. We just kept her. And then DEEF came in, or the caseworker came in and asked if there wouldn't be someone interested in adopting, because she's up for adoption. In Mexico, you don't do that. You don't, not normally. In Mexico, and I think that's on most states, normally the chain is you would go to the Mexican side and say, okay, I want to adopt a girl or a boy at a certain age range, and they would match you with that person. You really have no say on who you get. So looking, through our story, we definitely see where doors were open and God, moved us, brought us into our lives, and we're very glad that he did. So why that was our story. And the next question I'm going to go right in with it. It says, is adoption for everyone? We might not all be called to adopt. We might not be all called to adopt, but we are all called to care for orphans and widows. And I'd like to read again a few verses. The first one is in Exodus. Exodus 22:22-24. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Not taking care of orphans and widows in the Old Testament was a death penalty. Looking at James 1:27, and this is, so we're looking at New Testament now. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Here again, it's pretty important. God doesn't look lightly on taking care of orphans and widows. It's pretty clear. It's not an option that we have. It's a requirement. It's a mandate that God gives to us as Christians. So I can't say, you know, I can't stand here and say, well, you should adopt. It's how's God leading you? Where's he leading you to? There's a couple that we know that they felt the calling to adopt rather than have their own biological children. I don't know if they were able to or not, but that was their decision anyway. And another couple felt the call to actually adopt and then have their own children, biological children. It's God moves in different ways. He opens different doors. So to say that who should adopt or should you adopt, listen to God. God has a plan for you. We have a lot of different ways that we look after. And when I look at orphans, I think of someone that's vulnerable. Kids Club. We have quite a few here involved in Kids Club, and I think that answers part of the mandate here that God's calling. We have widows here, and we have different people here that do an excellent job of taking care of widows. I appreciate that. I thank you for doing that. There's a mission view, and I think because looking after orphans and widows is a mandate, I see this as the same thing, but in the mission view, you have the person going, you have the sender or the supporting person, or you have the disobedient. That doesn't give you a whole lot of option on what you should do. You need to be involved somewhere. You might not be able to go to the mission field. You might not be able to adopt, but you are able to support and work behind scenes or just help. Especially in foster care, if you know somebody that's fostering, there's like offer to take care of that child for a couple hours a day. Might take some paperwork when Sharon's sister Sarah has done foster before, and we had to do police background checks, but we were able to take care of children during the day. You need to be certified to do it, but there's ways like that that you can step in. You can offer to help. Sometimes a child like that comes from hard places. It can be extremely difficult sometimes on how they respond, and it can be tiring to the people taking care of them. Jumping in and helping out is very helpful. There's a book titled Adopted for Life by Russell Moore, an excellent book on adoption. They themselves adopted two boys from, I think it was Russia, and he weaves in their story with the gospel story, and it's an excellent book. If it would be good for more of us to read that one. But one quote that I would like to read out of that book, this is his view on it. Says the gospel is the good news that we have been adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God. It means that Christians ought to be at the forefront of the adoption of orphans around the world. I think he's fairly right on. It's our responsibility to take care of orphans wherever we go. Adoption can be a selfish reason. I mean, there's different reasons for adopting. It can be for selfish reasons on maybe, I don't know, makes you feel good, makes you look good. I don't recommend that. It often doesn't work out very good. But looking at the heart of God and following the heart of God, it works that way. Another question that he had, should we adopt from our own country or for a foreign country? Well, here again, it's only an answer that God can give to you. We obviously went out of country, but at the time we were living out of country. Sam and Miriam are right now working on out of country. It's not an issue of where you go, except for the fact that you should be following God and following doors that He's opening for you if He calls you to adopt. There's another one that he has here is pros and cons of adopting from a different nationality. Costs can be quite high going to a different country, but don't let that slow you down if you're interested. It's our story again on Isabella that we're adopting now. It's expensive, but we had the John Freeman sale, and we also did a Pure Gift of God. It was an online matching grant. We had $2,000 raised online, and they matched another $2,000. But with that and a few other private and what we could, right now we have what they recommend that we have for the complete adoption, and it's fairly expensive. And I don't know, pros and cons, going to a third world country, just visiting, living there would be better because you get a good picture of how blessed we actually are when you get to know some of the people in those. They're common people, but they depend on God probably more than we do on most cases. You learn new cultures. There's times when language can be a barrier, depending where you go or if you've been there before or lived there or know the language. Dealing with racism would be one that's a negative that I think we need to teach our children, especially to watch that. God loves all races. Looking at the process of adoption, in any adoption, it can well be a painful experience for the child. And if you think about it, at first there needs to be a loss. There needs to be a loss from that child, from the parent that they had. And it doesn't really matter if it's an infant. The losses obviously aren't as great, but that child was carried by its mother for 9 months. And even if it's taken away at birth, there's still a loss there that happened. And if a little bit older child, especially taken away from the mother, let's say at 5 or 10 years old, that can be an extremely painful loss that they'll go through. Any child like that is going to work harder to want to belong. They want people to see them for who they are as a person. I don't know. It's just hard for us to comprehend those of us that grew up with parents all our lives that loved us, cared for us. We don't have an idea what that is to actually be taken away, the loss of trust. At the orphanage, we have workers there. We ask them for a year commitment. Well, often some of them will do more than a year, but when that year's up or when that worker leaves, there's a connection usually by far most of the time. There's a strong connection that those children had with the worker that gets broken when that worker leaves and another worker comes in. It's been a number of years ago now. There was a little girl there that probably 3-4 years old talking, had only been with one worker. The worker was there a little bit longer. The worker left and the next caretaker came and she regressed. She quit talking and didn't talk for a number of months because of the change that happened. There's a lot of changes that we don't understand, that we don't catch. In a younger child, especially, when a change like that happens. John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. It's a promise that God gave to us, and it's one that I think we need to try and help with the orphans that we're in contact with to create that creation, create that communication. And if I recognize that God is my Father and that He loves me infinitely, that's what that child longs for. Another one, why are there people that have stigmas against adopted children? And this is not a blanket statement, because that's not true for everyone. And that's a difficult one that I don't know. There's those of us that have been involved in adoption, we see it as a positive thing. We see it as God's heart, following God's heart. There's sometimes you hear the thing of, okay, if somebody turns out rebellious, or maybe a drug addict or something like that, and you found out that he's adopted, you hear the statements, oh, well, that makes sense, he was adopted. Well, how do you handle that with the same drug addict that wasn't adopted? Doesn't really make sense, but we try to blame it on something. And I agree, an adopted child probably had a disconnected life, that he made wrong choices instead of following God's heart. There's a sibling group of three children that I know that were adopted. And this happened a long time ago that they were adopted. But sibling group adopted, same time, to the same family. The oldest one, when you look at that person today, and by our standards, doing quite well, has a family, serving the Lord, part of the church, everything looks good. The next one, when he was married for a bit, then he left his wife, lived with another woman for a while. Praise God, he's working on building that relationship back up with his wife now. And the youngest one is in prison. So if you take this thing of, well, it's because they were adopted, how do you bring that into focus with three that were adopted at the same time to the same parents, but yet turned out so different? I don't know. I don't really have a good answer. I know there's a trust issue that goes on with adoption. There's a program out there, TBRI. It's called Trust-Based Relational Intervention, and it's a organization out of Texas. Karen Purvis, I don't know, some of you probably know that name, but she passed away a few years ago now. But it works on building trust with that child, which is extremely important. We actually at the orphanage have just made it mandatory that any workers wanting to come to work at the orphanage to take care of children especially need to go through that program. We think of discipline like we were brought up. Some of those things just won't work on a child that maybe was abused as a child, or had trust issues as a child. Some of them will work, some of them won't work. It's different in people. But building trust, I think, is extremely important in any adoption story. The other thing that I think is involved here, being with the theme of adoption going throughout Scripture, I think it's also a spiritual warfare. And if you think about it, as a child of God, He wants none to be lost, and so that means He wants everyone to be adopted. And then if you look at Satan's viewpoint of it, he doesn't want anybody to be adopted spiritually. And I think sometimes that we are involved in that spiritual warfare of God and Satan wanting to be God wanting us to be adopted, Satan not wanting us to be adopted into the family of God. But I think the most important thing is that God is asking us to take care of those orphans. and to portray him through us to those orphans. Thank you.
Thank you, Lorne. I think you just should have just kept right on going. Lorne shared quite a few different points that I'm also looking at. And I don't want to take credit for everything that I put together. My wife helped me a lot. Dean Amstutz helped me. Chris Troyer spent some time helping me with this. But just the whole idea of adoption, and this came through so clear already, that adoption is close to the heart of God. Lauren asked a question about made a comment about is adoption, or asked the question, is adoption for everyone? And as an adoptive parent, I can look at you and I can say you need to be willing to adopt. But I don't do that. Because God didn't ask all of you to adopt. But he is asking you, as Lauren said, to care for the orphans and widows. That is sometimes praying for those that are going through adoption. The adoptive children and the parents and the family. That is just as great a role as adopting. We all need to pray and seek God's heart in this. One of the things that I've been asked to talk about was struggles that adoptive parents face. And I find it interesting that the struggles that adoptive parents face are quite often the same struggles that parents face that haven't adopted. It's just with adoptive children. Yeah, there are differences. But yet, many times they come back to the same thing. Lauren mentioned rejection and loss. Adopted children do face rejection and loss. And this can follow them throughout life. So we think about that and we try to work with them in this situation with rejection and loss. Lauren mentioned the idea of the stigma that if there is a problem, yeah, it's because you've adopted. And one of the things that I heard in the last couple of days was the fact that some people have advised those that are looking at adoption, please don't do it because it ain't going to turn out good. Please don't. I don't want to come to you tonight with a negative view that everybody says the wrong thing. That's not what I'm here for tonight. But how about if we get excited with those that are doing adoptions? We have Sam's and we have Lauren's here working on adoptions right now. What about if we get excited with them and encourage them, go ahead, we're with you. We'll stand behind you. And if you face troubles, we'll pray with you. That's the idea that I like to see with adoption. Because it is so close to the heart of God. Sometimes adoptive parents are looked at as someone special. But I want to tell you this evening that's not so. We're all special in the eyes of God. And if somebody is called to adoption, it's a calling that God has placed on their lives. We all have callings. If you want to realize, or if you want to imagine the fact that those that adopt are special people, then pray for them in that way. That God would use them for His purposes, like we all want to do. But I will share this, if God calls you into adoption, God is going to place a love within you for what's happening. He's going to place a desire within you to drive that direction. And it's the same as another calling that you might have that's not an adoption calling. God's going to place that desire within you, something that's going to burn within you. One of the other struggles that we face as adoptive parents is that the fact is that sometimes it does take more time with an adopted child because of rejection, because of loss, many other reasons. So how do we balance that time with an adopted child and a biological child so there's no feelings there? That can be difficult. Same thing happens if you don't adopt and you have children in your family. It can be difficult. But it takes time, and it takes a seeking and asking God for wisdom, and He gives it to us. Liberally is what Scripture says. And especially this happens when you adopt a child that has special needs. We have a lot to do tonight as far as praying goes right now as a church body. I admire our church body here in this situation, in the whole picture of adoption. I admire our church body. And for those of you that are not connected directly with adoption, if you don't have this on your prayer list, put it there as a daily thing to pray for those that are going through adoptions, children, families, those that are being adopted, and parents. One of the struggles that I've heard lots about, and that is, should I tell my child, my adoptive child, should I tell them they are adopted? When should I tell him? Should I tell them everything I know? I'm going to give you my personal feeling on this, that a child does have a right to know. And God gives us wisdom as we seek Him. How to relate that to them. How to bring that to them. Lauren also said something about racists. I was looking up here this evening, and I was looking at these different lanterns right here. Each one of them has a camel in it. This one over here is black. This one's brown. We got some white here and another kind of a bronze, brown colored one. They're all serving the same purpose because they have camels in them. They're all lights. Race can be a big issue. Does God see colors? You think God sees colors? Okay? We shake our head and we nod our head. Okay? But I want to come through tonight with the idea that God created colors, He sees colors, and He loves colors. I'd like for you to go home and read in Revelation sometime about the foundation that he talks about in heaven. About all the colors that are there. I very strongly believe God sees color and he loves it. And I very strongly believe as a church, we need to see color and we need to love it. We have some amongst us that aren't white like some of us are. We have some that have different tones of color. That's beautiful. I love to see that. And I believe God loves to see it. And I believe this is one area that we need to be very, very cautious as parents. That we do not make a comment in our homes about a negative comment about different races, about different colors. But we need to be positive about those races and about those colors. Can I tell you how easy it is for an adopted child to pick up on that? So if mom and dad, maybe a brother or sister, makes a comment about a different color, what about me? What do they think about me? God loves color, and I believe we need to love color as well. God uses every one of them for his purpose, to be a light. What's heaven going to look like? Can it hurt your feelings? It's not going to be full of white Mennonites. Yeah, there's going to be white Mennonites there. But heaven is going to be full of color, I believe. And God loves it. Not sure why I stuck on that one that long. One of the questions that comes through from time to time, which ones are your real children? They're all real. Yeah, but I mean, you know where I'm going. And I don't say this evening because I've got all the answers and I've got it all together. Yeah, I've made comments like that too. But they're all real. Dana said this morning, he's the leader of his home. And if somebody comes in to destroy something or to tear apart, they're going to have to go over him. I say the same thing for my home. Adopted or not adopted. Because they're all real. They're all my children. They're all our children. I found it that it is a blessing to introduce family, and to be proud in the right sense. Sometimes there's questions asked in front of an adopted child. It's a caution I think we need to use. And if you're an adoptive parent here this evening, and the question, you may get some questions in front of an adopted child that you'd rather not answer. You don't have to. Sounds selfish, doesn't it? But you don't have to. You can bypass that. Maybe catch up with that a little later. Another one of the questions I had is, how do we respond to adoptive parents? One of the best ways, I think, to respond to an adoptive parent is to place yourself in their shoes. How would you want others to respond to you in this situation? Lauren mentioned about paying for adoption. One of the things I think we can do with adoptive parents, specifically when they're going through the adoption, is to inquire, do you have enough money to pay for it? You know, it's interesting. Some of the financial guys that are out there, and I'm not knocking any of them, but they would suggest, please do not adopt unless you have the cash on hand. I say, like Lauren says, don't wait on that. If God places it there, he's going to supply. I'm not going to share our story this evening. I was glad to hear what Lauren shared. But I'm not going to share our story this evening. But maybe if you want to ask us privately sometime, I'd be happy to share with you what all happened in some of our adoption process. I think there's a place where we can share from our view, but we do also honor the fact that an adopted child has the rights to share their story when they feel it's right. It's something that we need to give them. One of the things that parents sometimes are concerned about, and that's mistreatment in the church with adopted children. And again, the fact of the matter is, it's not just adopted children. It can be adopted and not adopted. But there are times where that happens to adopted children. I think as parents, we need to relate to our children the importance. Adopted children want to be looked at, want to be considered like all the rest of us. They don't want to be singled out and looked at as you're different. They want to be just like the rest of us. And I bless you as a church for that, for how you have done that. Sometimes people want to know the child's birth country. They want to know about the child, and it's okay. I guess it's okay to ask that about the child. But it's still the child's choice when and where they want to share about their country, if they were from another country, about what they know about their where they come from. But I have down here, be prepared to, if you do ask that question, be prepared to not have an answer. Because a parent has to make a decision sometimes whether they're going to answer that or not. So if you don't get a straight answer, it's probably better if you just let it lay and pray. Now let me ask you this: what if you come to an adopted or to an adoptive family, and you ask the mom or the dad, "How are things going? How are you doing?" That's a good thing if you care. But be prepared. If you really care, they're going to sense that, and be prepared to spend some time, because somebody might need to cry on your shoulder. They might need to talk. But may I stress this very, very strongly. If an adoptive parent shares with you, keep it confidential. Do not talk about it. Keep it confidential. It's very, very important. Let me see where I'm at here. One of the things that is such a huge blessing to adoptive parents, and that is to know that others care. So include them in your plans, just like anyone else. But be sensitive, because every family situation is different. So be sensitive. Listen and watch for ways to help. How do I respond to an adopted child? My children, your children, all have different personalities. We get a little closer into the families. Each one of the children has a different personality quite often. So God made us that way. And it's beautiful. But we can all relate if we choose to. None of us as adoptive parents here this evening are going to expect you that aren't adoptive parents to respond individually to each one of our children, the adopted children, in perfection. It's not going to happen. We can't expect you to relate to each one of our children that are biological children in a perfect manner. It's not going to happen. So we want to be very gracious with that. But do make the adopted child feel like they are important. Make the biological child feel like they are important. Not different, but important. Consider the adoptive families, the children, to be brothers and sisters. Because they are. Fact of the matter is, whether the children come from across the seas, whether the children come from right here in the United States, can I say specifically in our Anabaptist circles, there's a culture shock. And it can be a good thing. But there is a culture shock that happens there. And I think we need to be very sensitive to the adopted children in this. Sometimes it's hard for them to understand why do we do what we do, even if they were very, very young when they were adopted. So to be very gentle with them and caring for them in this way is a good thing. Adoptive parents do see adoption through a bit of a different lens than those that are not adoptive parents. Let me make two comparisons here real quick between the parent and the adopted child. Before I get to that, sometimes we hear the phrase, the miracle of adoption. And I know what we mean. I know we understand that. But when we think about the miracle of adoption, let's think about these questions that I'm going to pose here. Or the comments. Us as adoptive parents, and maybe not adoptive, I mean those that aren't adopting also, we see adoption as a choice. It's something that we choose to do. Now let's place ourselves in the shoes of the child that is being adopted. They may see this adoption as not a choice because it's a loss on their end. So if we think about the miracle of adoption, us as parents see adoption as a blessing and gain. The child may see it as tragedy and loss. So those are things we think about when we think about the miracle of adoption. And those are things we think about as we get on our knees and we pray for those that are adopting and the adopting children. I can't stress enough tonight. I guess that's my strongest point this evening. Pray. Adoptive children, adoptive siblings, adoptive parents need prayers. They need wisdom. They need to know somebody is really caring. How can we support adoptive children and or their parents? I think one of the best ways that we can support, yes, it's prayer is the first thing. But let's keep the church a safe place for them to be. Where they can come to church and they know they've got friends here that love them and include them in whatever's going on. That's a beautiful picture. They need to know that they're accepted, that they're included. And that comes back to our homes and teaching our biological children and adoptive children that we have in our homes to be willing to include everyone. We're all God's children. And again, I haven't heard about making comments about other races, about how your children pick up on this quickly. And I know we make comments, and I'm not here. We want to be very, very gracious with this. But we hear comments, and I've made them. As was mentioned already this evening, negative comments about adoption. Comments about, really, should you have? What's in your future? I think we need to be very careful, whether that's in the home or whether it's spoken to the parents of adoptive children, that we don't cast a negative light on it, because it is so close to the heart of God. So we realize, and I hope you realize in me, that none of us are perfect in that manner. But we all want to be gracious with each other. And we understand that it's difficult, it's impossible actually to be sensitive all the time. But the bottom line of all this, I guess, is just the appreciation and knowing that we belong to a body that cares. That's something that we have sensed so many times. Lauren's and Sam's, I'm sure you've sensed that too, and you will continue to sense that. So I think that's all I have this evening. Vonda made a comment maybe about opening up for questions, but I don't think I have the answers. Lauren probably does. But no, just pray. Just spend time in prayer. For those that are going through adoption, send them a text. Give them a call. Encourage them somehow. Sam and Miriam are going through a difficult time right now waiting. It's not fun. It's hard. Lauren's are waiting. It's really hard. Well, you want to just bring that child home and begin to love them in the home. But God's timing is always perfect. It's hard for us to see that. His timing is so perfect. And they need us as a church family to come around them and to love on them. And let them know that God has this all planned out. He's going to work out the best thing. I don't know. Maybe I've gone all over the place this evening. Maybe I've got you all confused. But adoption is very, very important. And yeah, we would love to see everybody be an adoptive family, but God didn't call all of us to that. But He did call you, like Lauren said, to love on the widows and on the orphans. And that is our desire to do that. Any announcements this evening? Any comments? Sam? Okay. Don, do you have any comments you'd like to share? Since Sam was just saying you went through some of the adoption process, maybe you'd have a comment or two. Kind of putting you on the spot. Okay, we'll just leave that.
I'd like to share my brother. I only have one brother. He was blessed with a wife that was adopted many years ago. The young lady that he married, her family, the mother had lost her husband, and she couldn't afford to take care of the children, so she adopted my own. And so Dioma was adopted out, and Precious family, and she even to this day, her brother in adoption, and she had more than one brother, but she was very close to him. But she is also very close to the family that she came from, and the Lord blessed in that situation. And there was another thing I'd like to branch out a little bit, is we have parents here that have either second marriage or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a sense that there's adoption there too, whether it's the children or the mother or the grandparents, I think there's a connection there too.
Thank you. I never gave that a thought. I appreciate that.
I didn't see my children until we met at the airport to go.
So things are different now than they used to be, aren't they? Vonda, do you have something you wanted to share? Vonda helped me so much putting some stuff together here, so I'll just say this. God puts a love in your heart that is so strong. And I believe it's just a tiny touch of the love that He has for us. Because we've been adopted in that, in the sense, spiritual sense. I'll leave it with that. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, again this evening, we are so thankful for Your love for us. And God, our desire is for the love that You have for us, that it would trickle down out of us into those that we come in contact with every day, into those that we bring home through adoption, into those that are born into our homes biologically. Lord, help us to love. Help us to love. And Lord, to pray, to seek Your face. We just want to bless You this evening. You've been so good to us. And we know that You're not going to fail us. Help us to be faithful. Would You dismiss us with Your blessing? Help us to seek Your face throughout this week and to walk in a way that pleases You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.